From the jam-packed Municipal Auditorium, Minneapolis, Minnesota, the Columbia Broadcasting System and WCCO presents the official opening of the annual Aquatennial Celebration with Vice President Alvin Barkley, CBS President Frank Stanton, Monica Lewis, Cedric Adams, Aqua Queen Lee Jensen, Tony Grisey, and the Minneapolis Corollaire. And for a smile or two, Arthur Godfrey and old sorrowful Jones himself, Bob Hope.
Thank you very much. How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? This is Bob broadcasting for the Aquatennial in the Minneapolis Auditorium Hope, telling you that although Minnesota's famous for Indians that have come and gone, forget Hiawatha and meet the new leader of the tribe, Big Chief Swan. Thank you. Yes, sir, there are still a lot of Indians around here, but they don't scalp people with tomahawks anymore. They just sell them Arkansas bonds. Thank you, buyers. Thank you. Local, but a doll joke. I arrived here this morning in the Northwest Airlines big new Stratacruiser. What a deluxe plane. It's a big double-decker. I felt like a toothpick sitting in a club sandwich. And just to show you how fast we were going, I had indigestion, and I hicked in lacrosse and cupped over Minneapolis. What a plane that Stratacruiser is. It's a beautiful thing, that Boeing Stratacruiser. Coming here, we flew over St. Paul. As you all know, Minneapolis and St. Paul are known as the Twin Cities. Twin Cities. They may have been born at the same time, but St. Paul looks as though the doctor slapped it in the wrong place. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And when I play St. Paul, I say it about Minneapolis. Do you think that's correct? But all that talk you hear about the rivalry between Minneapolis and St. Paul is just a lot of propaganda. Why, they're as friendly as Governor Youngdahl and his investment board. We'll have to send charts out for this monologue. But Minnesota has an unusual terrain. It has 10,000 small lakes. In fact, the last time Phil Harris was here, he took a look at them and said, "Somebody get me a bottle of bourbon. It's a shame to let all those chasers go to waste." Yes, sir, Minnesota's really covered with water. In fact, this is the only place in the world where the gophers have webbed feet. And when I arrived here this morning, I thought a big wind was blowing in from Lake Minnetonka, but I found out it was just the fellas finishing the canoe derby and letting the air out of their blisters. The canoe derby is part of the Aquatennial that everybody's celebrating here this week, and I don't know if Minneapolis is crowded or not, but the city hall is 6 feet taller than it was yesterday. And you should have seen the mob watching the parade this afternoon. I saw a little boy, and I said to him, "Having fun, little boy?" He said, "I ain't a little boy. Somebody stepped on me." What a crush of people watching the Aquatennial parade. It was so terrific, one float started as 2,000 gardenias and wound up as a bottle of Chanel No. 5. And another feature of the Aquatennial is the Aqua Follies. Boy, what girls. What strapless bathing suits. What confidence. And you should see those new French bathing suits they're wearing. Yes, sir, you should see them. That's more than I could. They're really not bathing suits. They're just two pieces of Kleenex singing, "Baby, it's cold outside." A swell gal who came out here especially to help you celebrate your Aquatennial, Miss Monica Lewis, right here.
Oh, thank you, and thanks, Bob. That was really flattering. But why don't you tell the people what I do? I'm a singer.
Oh, you are?
Mm-hmm. I'm a singer like Bing Crosby.
Like Bing Crosby?
Uh-huh.
Well, maybe there's a cure for it. Say, What are you going to sing for us tonight, Monica?
I'm in love with a wonderful guy.
I'm sorry, but I'm still that way about Rita. I'm the stubborn type.
But, Bob, she's married.
So what? Even if the bird flies away, you can still reminisce about the bees.
Oh, Bob. I meant I was going to sing a song called I'm in Love with a Wonderful Guy.
Wonderful, Monica.
I'm as corny as Kansas in August. I'm as normal as blueberry pie. No more a smart little girl with no heart. I have found me a wonderful guy. I am in a conventional dither with a conventional star in my eye. And you will note there's a lump in my throat when I speak of that wonderful guy. I'm as trite and as gay as a daisy in May, a cliche coming true. I'm bromidic and bright as a moon, happy night, corn light on the dew. High as a flag on the 4th of July. If you'll excuse an expression I use, I'm in love, I'm in love, I'm in love, I'm in love, I'm in love with a wonderful guy. I'm as corny as Kansas in August, high as a flag on the 4th of July. If you'll excuse an expression I use, I'm in love.
Ladies and gentlemen, I got news for you, Monica. After we're through here, we're all dropping into the Flame Room of the Radisson Hotel to listen to some more of your singing. And now it is my pleasure to introduce one of Minneapolis's native sons who made good in a big way. He parlayed a radio talent show and a daily newspaper column into a big business. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Cedric Adams.
Thank you very much, Mr. Hope.
Well, okay. Well, thank you very much.
So you're a newspaper man, huh? You know, I happen to be a writer myself.
I didn't know that, Robert.
Oh, sure. Why, people tell me I'm as good a writer as I am a comedian.
Well, chin up.
How did you happen to get into the newspaper business, Cedric?
Well, I suppose I was born for it, Robin, just as you were born for this.
You think that's the way it happens, huh?
Of course. I was given a nose for news, and you were obviously intended for comedy.
Well, it comes in handy for flattening out Lefse. Lefse, that's a piece of bread that you can play on your phonograph.
Well, Robert, I'm very glad to know that you read my newspaper column.
Oh, sure, I read it every day in this corner. You know, I write a newspaper column, it says here.
And I read it every day, it says here.
Be careful, boy. Be careful or you will wind up in the Mayo Clinic. That's where my eyeballs go after working in a picture with Jane Russell.
I'm very sorry I hurt you, Robert. This has been a big day in Minneapolis, and it's really kept all of us going. What with the parade and all of our friends who have come to see the Aquatennial from all over the country.
Yes, sir, Cedric, you've all done a great job.
Well, thanks, Robert, but there are a lot of people mixed up in this, so it's with a great deal of pleasure that I introduce Mr. W.N. Bud Dixon, president of the Minneapolis Aquatennial.
Yes, sir. Glad to meet you, Prez, and congratulations to you and all of your Aquatennial staff and the great show you've put together for the folks of the Northwest. Incidentally, Bud, why don't you tell our audience in a few words just what Aquatennial is?
Well, Bob, we think the Minneapolis Aquatennial, as it now stands in its 10th year, is the largest nonprofit civic festival celebrated annually in the United States. I suppose our Aquatennial audience might best be compared with the annual Tournament of Roses of Pasadena, the New Orleans Mardi Gras, or the Atlantic City Summer Festival?
Well, it's the biggest thing of its kind I've ever seen. It certainly must take a big organization here at home base to carry out such a project.
Yes, as a matter of fact, in addition to the directors and the chairman, there are some 600 active committee workers, all wonderful civic-minded people who devote weeks of their personal time to this project. And, Bob, that gives me an opportunity to present to you and our audience the man who works with me in coordinating this entire plan, Mr. Carl Bremiker, General Chairman of the Minneapolis 1949 Aquatennial.
Hello, Carl. You look a little tired. How do you feel, boy? They tell me that in addition to all the hard work you've been doing, you've had the pleasant duty of being the personal escort of your lovely queen, Lee Jensen.
Yes, Bob, that's right. Over the past 12 months, Lee and I have visited hundreds of communities throughout the state of Minnesota, participating in functions that have been building up the Aquatennial you now see.
Well, what a busy bee. Well, congratulations to you, Carl, and Bud, and all the Aquatennial workers. And believe me, I'm mighty happy to be able to be a part of this big show.
Thanks, Bob, and that thanks comes from all of the people in the great Northwest. You're a swell guy to come out and join us.
Well, now, Robert, before we go, we'd like you to meet our 1949 Aquatennial Queen, the lovely and very popular Miss Lee Jensen.
Well, so you're the Aquatennial Queen. Say, you're lovely.
Well, thank you, Mr. Hope.
We're getting off to a slow start. My friends... My friends don't call me Mr. Hope.
Well, what do they call you?
Call me Mr. Hope. You know, Lee, I was very interested in the selection of the Aquatennial Queen last year. I followed the results of the voting very carefully, checked with the judges every hour.
I know, Mr. Hope, and I'm awfully sorry I beat you out.
Well, it was my fault. I wore a bare midriff, and I have more mid than riff.
Mr. Hope, I must say it was really a thrill winning that contest.
I know just how you feel. I almost copped a silver cup once myself.
Really? What stopped you from copping it?
A cop. But, Lee, before you go, how about a date tonight, honey?
I don't know. I better ask my mother.
Mother? Why?
Well, she's more your age.
That isn't white in my hair, Lee. When I was a baby, my nurse used talcum powder, and she had a bad sense of direction.
Well, if you really want to take me out after the show tonight, Mr. Hope, where will I meet you?
Lake Harriet. See, I'm not as old as you think. Thank you very much, Lee Jensen.
Thank you, Lee.
For a musical thrill, let's listen to the Minneapolis Corollaires, an outstanding group of 60 voices directed by Bob Mansky, accompanying the Northwest's favorite young baritone, Tony Grisey, singing the hit song from South Pacific, Some Enchanted Evening.
Some enchanted evening,
some enchanted evening,
you may see a stranger. You may see a stranger across a crowded room, and somehow you know even then, that somewhere you see her again and again. May hear her laughing across a crowded room at night. sea. The sound of her laughter will sing in your dreams. Who can explain it? Who can tell you why? Fools give you reasons. Wise men never try. Some enchanted evening, when you find your true love, when you feel her call you across a crowded room, then fly to all through your life you may dream.
Before Arthur Godfrey joins us, let's listen to a few words from the president of CBS, Mr. Frank Stanton.
Thank you, Bob. It's good to have you on CBS tonight. I am very happy to be here tonight to witness this great spectacle, the Minneapolis Aquatennial. It is something I wish the entire nation could see and enjoy. The Columbia Broadcasting System has long known of the great progressive spirit of the people of this territory. We are grateful for the fact that over the years we have had the opportunity to serve this area through our own station, WCCO. This year, WCCO is celebrating its 25th anniversary. The station went on the air as WLAG on September 12, 1924. During its ownership and operation by the Washburn-Crosby Company, the well-known call letters WCCO were originated. All improvements in the station, including expanded power and studio facilities, have been made possible through the loyal support of the listeners of this territory. And I want to take this opportunity to pledge to these same listeners that in the years to come, this station and CBS will continue to try to live up to the slogan, "Good neighbor to the Northwest." Thank you.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, it's a special privilege to introduce a fellow whom you've heard on the radio and seen on television, who flew his own plane up here from his farm in Virginia just to take in the Aquatennial festivities, Mr. Arthur Godfrey, right here.
Thanks for the plug, Bob. Dang.
How about that, huh?
Now you remember.
That's a snazzy outfit you're wearing, Arthur. Is that a shirt or one of your sponsor's old tea bags? What is that thing?
You should talk. That's the first time I ever saw a double-breasted swan wrapper. You know, it's a little tight around your kitchen drain.
Yeah. Listen, Chubby.
Chubby? Look at that pot on you.
Yeah, but at least my lid fits.
Yeah, with that nose, you've got the handle to go with it.
Now, wait a minute. Quiet, or I'll have an NBC vice president bite you in the leg. By the way, Arthur, you know I'm off the air right now. How are things going in radio?
Let's not talk about radio, Bob. After all, television is the thing right now.
You're right. The radio situation is terrible. Things are so bad, all the programs are giving up. Last week, young Dr. Malone turned in his Band-Aids. The whistler was only in a half pucker. And Portia isn't facing life anymore. She just stands sideways and lets it squeeze by.
Yeah, and the sponsors aren't so loose with a buck anymore. They're cutting the budgets way down.
Well, what about those big giveaway shows?
Ah, they're trimming them down to the bone. Next year, Bob, Stop the Music will be called Shut Up With That Harmonica Already.
What about those big prizes, Arthur? No more ocean liner trips to Hawaii?
No. They'll just put you in a washtub, see? Hand you an egg beater and point you towards St. Paul.
And you've had it, huh?
You going into television, Bob?
No, not right away. For the time being, I'm going to leave it to Milton Berle.
Milton Berle?
Yeah, you know the fellow who just made that new movie, The Big Steal?
Oh, yeah.
I think we reached La Crosse for that, didn't we?
Yeah.
It's the biggest barn I ever worked
in. Isn't this a wonderful
Isn't
place?
Something, huh?
Well, I tell you, Bob, with television catching on so fast, what bothers me is where are they going to get all the acts?
Well, where else? Vaudeville. There are a lot of vaudeville acts that would be wonderful for television. Remember those two cornballs, the Sunshine Boys with their corny jokes, and those minstrel shows?
I sure do, Bob.
And our friends, those Dutch comics, Meyer and Schultz, well, they'll be great for television.
Bob, why don't we run to a rehearsal, just in case we ever get an offer, huh?
Well, swell, Arthur. Music, maestro. Say, Arthur?
Yes, Robert?
Say, a funny thing happened to me on the way to the studio. A bum stopped me and wanted a dollar for his 80-year-old mother.
Did you give it to him?
Gosh, no. What would I want with his 80-year-old mother? Laugh it up. Don't let it lay there.
Say, you know, Bob, you're effervescent.
What do you mean I'm effervescent?
Yeah, you'd be a good-looking fella. Effervescent for your face.
Say, Hotshot, tell me, what is a botanist?
I don't know. What is a botanist?
A botanist is somebody who sews on buttons. Boy, am I clickering. Is that my loose upper plate?
You know, you remind me of the Green Hornet.
But the Green Hornet stings.
You see what I mean?
And now, a couple of Dutch comics. Okay, Mr. Leader.
Hilda, is there any von fatter in the state of Aachen, Gehacken, Geruten, Gertuten, Gestunken, including the suburbs? If there is and you know her, see if maybe she a friend has for us.
And maybe one for me.
Hilda, you are always out of kilter. You look like a fish that is gefilter.
Say, Schultz.
Yeah, Meyer.
Schultz, why does a Wiener Schnitzel cross the street?
I don't know, Meyer. Why does a Wiener Schnitzel cross the street?
Dumb cough. On the other side, a girl Wiener Schnitzel. Say, Schultz.
Yeah, Meyer.
Did everybody go home?
A joke did, I know that.
Can you tell me, Schultz, who discovered America?
No, Meyer, I didn't even know it was lost. And so, to leave you with a smile, we say,
down by the old,
I'll hear the birdies sing, what happiness they bring,
stream.
I'll hear them slinging all that singing,
where I first,
my very first,
met
I slightly wet,
you,
I do mean you, oh yes I do, with your eye,
I love that eye,
so,
it seemed to glow,
blue,
it seemed to glow a pretty blue,
dressed in ging,
oh happy ging,
a gum,
oh snappy gum,
a two,
oh happy ging and gum and goo.
You were 16.
Oh, yes, 16 is 2 times 8.
My village queen.
This song's so long and we're so late.
By the old.
My memory just seems to linger.
By the old.
I think this lyric is a stinker.
By the old mill stream. Let's dive back in.
Take a bow, Arthur. Okay. And now, ladies and gentlemen, it's a real pleasure
to bring to you one of the outstanding political figures of our country. A man who has lifted the job of vice presidency into a full-time partnership with the president. The vice president of the United States, Mr. Alvin W. Barkley, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome, Mr. Barkley.
Thank you, Bob. I just want to say that it's a great pleasure for me to appear on a program with one of America's most talented personalities.
No wonder this. No wonder this man's vice president. You didn't have to say that, Mr. Vice President.
I know, Bob, but in my business, a vote is a vote, you know.
And he's not reading either. Isn't this wonderful here?
Great.
How do you like? We have all
Great.
Of Minneapolis here in this wonderful auditorium. Say, by the way, Mr. Barkley, while we're talking about it, don't you think you could find me some sort of a job in Washington? You know, radio is pretty shaky. You never know when the sponsor's liable to turn the power off.
Bob, at the moment...
Well, I didn't mean anything big, Mr. Barkley. Just a little something in the day coach or the official gravy train. You know, sort of a... sort of a small pig's knuckle in the old pork barrel. Or how about going to banquets with you and sneering back at the Republicans?
Please, you've got the idea entirely wrong there. In Washington, we play ball with the Republicans.
You play ball with the Republicans?
Yes, we play ball with them, but we make sure they don't get to bat very often.
How would you like to pitch for the Cleveland Indians, huh?
Bob, this is no time for politics. I wish merely to say that I have had a wonderful day here in Minneapolis today, and being the Grand Marshal of the parade has enabled me to see at first hand the wonderful spirit which prevails in the Northwest. The rest of the world could take a few lessons to its advantage.
Thank you, Vice President Barkley.
Thanks for the memory of the chance to take part in this aquatennial swim. Those beauty queens in swimming jeans makes me wish I'd grown a fin. How lovely it was.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's been a great thrill to be here in Minneapolis with all these wonderful people. And here's Howard.
This special aquatennial presentation has originated from the Minneapolis Auditorium through the facilities of WCCO. Orchestra under the direction of Wally Olson. Program was produced by Al Capstaff, written by Al Schwartz, coordinated by Robert Sutton. Our appreciation to Coyle Hunter of Northwest Airlines. This is Clellan Card speaking. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
WCCO, Minneapolis and St. Paul.